This is Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. So glad that you have tuned in once again. As I continue Season 2, Episode 4, which I've entitled, It's All About Forgiveness. And this is Part Number 4. And so once again, I'm so glad that you have tuned in. And I'm so blessed that God has given me a platform and given me this opportunity to bring the good news of His Word to the entire world through this podcast. To Him be the glory for all of that. It's nothing that I have done. I just try to bring you a layman's perspective of God's Word, and God does the rest. And I pray about each episode before I do it and say, God, what do you want me to talk about in this episode? Give me the words to say. Give me the verses that I need to share with some who maybe need to be reminded of what we're talking about in each episode. And He has done that each and every time. I hope you found the podcast on one of the various podcast platforms. If you did not, you can search for it. Just make sure you search for the entire name, Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. You can also email the podcast, Truth from the Heart Podcast @gmail.com. And I know that this episode is supposed to be all about forgiveness. And in the first three parts of this episode, we heard an amazing speech by a Holocaust survivor, Corrie ten Boom. She is also the author of the book, The Hiding Place, which I believe was also turned into a feature film as well. We're going to start to shift gears a little bit, and I'm going to start sharing some personal stories of forgiveness with you, and obviously share some verses with you, which is important. It's always important for us to take a look at God's Word. But before I do that, I came across this speech a couple of years ago, and it's not necessarily related to forgiveness, but it is related to Christianity. And at the end of Corrie's speech, she shares the gospel. And I don't want to just leave that there and leave it hanging. I want people to understand the importance of Christianity and how Christianity truly does work. I found this speech several years ago, and I know the audio quality is not going to be quite maybe what you're used to. It was done several years ago, and I got this off of YouTube, so just claiming that right now. So the quality, again, not the greatest, but the speech is so powerful. And it's by stand-up comedian Jerry Clower, and he was born and raised in the state of Mississippi, and he's best known for his stories of the rural South and was given the nickname the Mouth of the Mississippi. He eventually became a comic on the Grand Ole Opry, and he also ended up hosting a television program called Country Crossroads with Bill Mack and Leroy Van Dyke. And he has been, what I did not know, I had never even heard of him, but what I did not know is that he is a born-again Christian and the importance of Christianity throughout his life. And he's going to give you a little bit of his testimony and tell you an amazing story of God's redemption. And so, again, this is kind of, I don't want to say Christianity in a nutshell, but everything that he covers, I agree with. I think he sums it up quite well. He does it, of course, again, with a little bit of humor since he is a stand-up comedian. And I couldn't go any longer without sharing this with you. Again, it's not about forgiveness, but it's still a message that we all need to hear. So here is Jerry Clower, the Grand Ole Opry comic, with his amazing testimony.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, wondering how He could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. I once was an outcast, a stranger on earth, an alien by choice and a sinner by birth. But I have been adopted and my name's written down, and I'm an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I am not a pastor. I am a Christian entertainer. And I feel the greatest thing in my life is to witness for Christ wherever I have the opportunity to do so. What church you go to? I said, oh, I'm a Christian. You are, yeah. And I worship in a Southern Baptist church. But if you're a Christian and go to some other kind of church, I can worship with you. Well, if I had one sermon, I could get up on a mountaintop and just preach to everybody as a lay preacher, I would do this. I'd say, make for sure that you are saved. I remember when I was saved. I'm the product of a broken home. I grew up at Right for Liberty, Mississippi. July 1939, my Christian mama told me, said, Jerry, you and your brother Sonny stopped flying a little early today. We're going over to old East Fork Baptist Church to a revival meeting tomorrow, and we're going to hear Brother Pardew from the First Baptist Church of Magnolia, Mississippi, going to preach. He's going to hold a revival meeting, and Coach Hot Moore, the Big 8 football coach from Macomb, Mississippi, is going to be leading the singing. And we're going to go. This is fourth Sunday in July, and my old church, folks, has been having a revival meeting to start fourth Sunday in July, Sunday through Friday night, since 1810. So me and my mom and my brother got ready, and we walked to the old East Fork Baptist Church. We took a chicken pie and two egg custards, put them out there and put a oil cloth over them. Heard Brother Pardew preach a sermon that morning, Sunday morning, fourth Sunday in July, 1939. We had dinner at noon that day, and then sermon right after dinner. Then we went back morning and night to Friday night. Thursday night of that week, Brother Pardew got up and said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, he ain't talking about everybody. And General MacArthur and President Roosevelt flashed into my little old 13-year-old mind. And you know that preacher said, I'm talking about everybody, even the president, even generals. And I caught a hold of the back of that old pew. When I was 13 years old, I was toe-headed and barefooted. I knew more about climbing. Now, I did anything else, and he repeated it. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Whoo, I said, if that's so, I'm in a mess. But then he smiled. He said, but God commended his life toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us. Think of that. That if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. So while they were singing number 197, Only Trust Him, I walked down the aisle and I had that experience of grace that only comes from the saving power of God. And I have been a Christian ever since. Are you saved? Christianity works. Next, after I got saved, I'd make for sure that I could find a New Testament Bible-believing church, and I'd put my membership in that church, and I'd make them a good hand. I've been an active Christian for 46 years, and the older I get, the more I'm convinced the first place of Christian service for any Christian ought to be in a local church. And I would recommend to you that after you get saved, get into a Bible-believing church and make for sure that you're not a nitpicker. Don't make no difference to me what color shirt the preacher wears. Nitpicking. Woo! If you are in a church or if you get saved and get in a church and you feel like you got to be a nitpicker, go by the church office and get you the name of somebody on a visitation card, and you go see that family and open up the Bible, and you witness to them and win them to the Lord. And in the Lord's day, when they walk down the aisle and publicly profess Christ and join the church because of your witness, oh, 99.44% of your nitpicking will be cured. You'll be so thrilled to see someone born into the kingdom of God, you won't have time to nitpick. After you get saved and get in a church and decide not to be a nitpicker, be sure and be a storehouse tither. Do not rob yourself of the blessing of giving. A lot of folks rob themselves of the blessing of giving. Now, you know 15% of the members of my church give 85% of the budget. I make a motion every business meeting, them it ain't giving nothing. We post the name on the vestibule out there as you walk in the church. Hey, they're sending a kid to the graded choir. using the activities building for the young'uns to go down there and keep them off the streets on weekends. They send them on the mission trip. They're using that electricity while they're down there worshiping, but they ain't giving nothing. And the sad part of it is they're robbing themselves of the blessing of giving. And I know a lot of y'all ain't gonna believe this, but I got to share this with you. If somebody wrote a check tomorrow for the total budget of my church, it wouldn't affect my giving one penny. Ain't nobody gonna rob me of the blessing I get from giving. And you know why a lot of folks ain't getting? Because they ain't giving. We got too many Christians in my church to print them names. They vote me down every time. I doing a talk show the other day, and a lady called up and said, Mr. Clow, I read your book, and it says you're a storehouse tithe. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, if I made the kind of money you make, I could tithe too. I said, lady, I tithe my income when I was a fertilizer salesman and owed everybody in Mississippi. If I'd have missed one payday, I'd have had to went to the penitentiary. But I tithe my income as a fertilizer salesman. And God found me faithful when I had a little, so now he's trusting me with a bunch. A lot of us ain't getting no more than we got because God can't trust us with what we got now. We won't give none of it. After you get saved and get in a church and decide not to be a nitpicker and tithe the income, make sure that you so go to church that you read the Word of God, that you hear your pastor preach, that you're so close to God that if tragedy hits your life, you won't act like a pagan, you'll act like a Christian. And I don't mind telling you, through my 46 years of being a Southern Baptist, I have had more heartache from people who I thought was devout Christians where a little rain fell in their life, they turned into a pagan. I love them folks that give thanks for all things. When they're down in the valley, they're giving thanks. When they're up on the mountaintop, they're giving thanks. Just give thanks. Me and Mama had a young'un to sneak up on us. Hey, 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 giggle. Yeah. It was a Friday after Mother's Day. In 1970, that Katie, the one what sneaked up on me and Mama, was 2 weeks old. And phone rang about 11:30. And my daughter Amy, coming back out of the bedroom where I was, said, Daddy, a lady's on the phone asking for you. I said, well, darling, maybe a wrong number or something. I don't know why anybody called me 11:30 at night. And I went and said, hello, and it's Mrs. Bridgeforth out in the county. And when you say Bridgeforth in our county, you're talking about very prominent farmers and good people. And Mrs. Bridgeforth said, Mr. Clower, my daughter was having a spend-the-night party. Several girls are here to spend the night with her, and several boys from Yazoo City come out to visit with them. Your son just got up and announced that he was required to be home by 12 o'clock. And him and his two buddies, some construction down here at the foot of this hill, and they missed a turn and they rolled over and hit a tree. So now the other two boys in the car, Mr. Clower, they cut up and they hurt. But your son, I'm sorry, Mr. Clower, but we cannot wake him up. Well, I thought she was telling me my boy was dead. And I got up and I said, yes, ma'am, as soon as I can get on my britches, I'll be right on out there. She said, well, the ambulance is on its way. We call them first. Well, while driving to the scene of this wreck, looking through the windshield at the full moon, I started praying. I said, Lord, you know I've been all over this country popping off and suggesting to people that if tragedy hits their life, they don't act like a pagan, they act like a Christian. And I said, Lord, I want you to know from ever fiber of my being, I believe every word I've been saying. And I want you to let me be in amongst the faithful that stand up and use this to the glory of God. And when I get out there, if my boy's dead, I'm going to praise your holy name. If he's alive, I'm going to praise your holy name. You ain't never made a mistake. You ain't going to make a mistake with me. And I'm going to give thanks and keep going. And you're going to use this to your glory. I'm on your side. Now, it was hard to pray that prayer as I'm a young'un what played football. And I never played high school football. Played basketball on a dirt court. But here I am, done got me a man child and three daughters, and my boy started out in the fifth grade playing football and went all the way to the Dixie Youth World Series. And now I'm driving out. Well, I meet the ambulance about a half a mile from the scene of the wreck. I run on out there and thank Ms. Bridge, but she said, I'm sorry, but we couldn't wake him up. I followed the ambulance back into town, and that was my next door neighbor, big old Chief Hill, standing over my boy with Dr. Chapman. And my wife was there. She'd already called Margarita Hill, my next door neighbor, to come stay with Katie. And Dr. Chapman turned around and said, Jerry, we can't wake him up. Said, he's conscious. He's breathing, but he's got a soft spot right in the top of his head. All we can do is watch him. If that pressure builds up, we got to get him to Jackson. He'll have to be operated on. Next morning, doctor said, Jerry, we can't revive him. We better rush him to Jackson, because if that pressure builds up, we'll have to have Dr. Hodges down there be able to operate. We put him in the ambulance, and as I put him on that thing and rolled him out there, I started squalling. But I was praying, Lord, I'm on your side. You ain't never made a mistake. You ain't going to make a mistake with me. So we got in that ambulance, and we headed to Jackson, and I saw my neighbors stop in the yard and bow their head and go to praying for me and my boy. I saw a man putting gas in a car. Stop the flow of the gas and stand up and bow his head when he saw us pass and pray for me and pray for my son. Them folks was waiting on us in Jackson, put him in intensive care for 3 days and three nights. I walk in there and look at him, built like Tarzan. Fine boy, ain't saying nothing to his daddy. But the fourth day, Dr. Hodges walked out of there and said, get old Ray Clower out of here and feed him. He's going to be all right. Ray Clower played football. The next year, he's a high school football coach now, as I stand here to do this show for you. Christianity works. It's just like salt. If you put salt on your egg, and then you decide you don't want to eat an egg with salt on it, you got to throw the egg away and cook another. Because when you apply that salt, it's going to commence to working. If you apply Christianity, it works. And I recommend it to you. A lot of wonderful things have happened to me. Oh, I'm human enough. I like being selected the number one country comic in America a few times. Some of my buddies say, well, I don't like them award shows. I love them, especially when I win. I'm human enough. I love that, and I ain't gonna lie about it. But let me hasten to tell you, that ain't the greatest thing that ever happened to me. The greatest thing that ever happened to Jerry Clower, the Grand Ole Opry humorist, is when I become a Christian. The next greatest thing is to see someone else born into the kingdom of God, because Christianity works. I am convinced there's just one place where there ain't no laughter, and that's in hell. And I've made arrangements to miss hell. So ha, 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 I won't never have to be nowhere where some folks ain't laughing. You know of anybody that don't believe in laughing. And they hunkered over and got a scowl on their face, and they bound and determined they ain't gonna laugh at nothing. You tell them to go home and look in the mirror and see what all us other folks been laughing at all these many years. Thank you. I love you. God bless you. Woo!
So what did you think of that? I thought that was just great. And I think he sums it up so well, that the best part of our lives is when we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But the second best moment is when we come, or we're able to lead others to salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's what I hope to do through this podcast. And I hope that one day when I get to heaven, that there are some that come up and say, I heard your podcast and I did not know Christ, but I came to know him through what I heard on this podcast. It touched my heart. And as I've said many times before, if that is true and it touches one life, it's all been worth it. It's not for me to sit here and say, God, I want to reach 500 lives or 100 lives need to be touched, or it's just all been a waste. That is not true, because sharing God's word is never a waste. He will never waste it, and he will never let his word return void. He will always let his word go out. It's our job to plant the seed, and then the Holy Spirit's job to grow it. And so that is what I'm trying to do with this podcast, is just get the word of Christ out there. And maybe you've heard it. Maybe you are a born-again Christian and you are strong in your faith. I hope that you have still been inspired and encouraged by what you've heard on this podcast. And I'm not trying to go into any deep theological subjects or anything like that. I'm just trying to keep it as basic as I can, but also stress the importance of God's word and God's love for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let me say a quick prayer and I'll close this out for today. Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for people like Corrie Ten Boom and Jerry Clower, two people from completely different walks of life who have completely different stories, yet both of them had tragedies in their lives, those tough moments that they had to get through, and through it all, they held strong, and they believed in you and trusted in you. And I pray that there would be many that are listening that have the same thing happen in their lives. That maybe they're going through the trial of their life, but that they can turn to you and find comfort and peace and know that you are there with us every single step of the way. And I also thank you for the courage and the strength of Corrie and Jerry as they got up on those public stages and they shared the good news of your word with so many people. And I pray that there would be many others that are called to do the same thing. Thank you for giving me this platform to be able to do that, and to the technology to be able to do that, to share the good news of your word with the entire world. Lord, I pray that there are many listening today that if they have sort of strayed away from you, or they have strayed away from reading your word, that you would bring them back to you and they would get back into your word, and that they would apply your word to their lives. I pray for those out there who don't know you, that they might come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. You are in the life-changing business. You have been ever since the beginning of time. And I just pray that people understand the love that you have for us, and that it will never change no matter what we do. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus to be the payment for our sins on the cross. We love you and we thank you. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. As I continue Season 2, Episode 4, it's all about forgiveness. Today was a little bit different, and I know I didn't talk about forgiveness, but I wanted to share that special message with you from Grand Ole Opry comic Jerry Clower. I thought it was one that was very timely. No matter what happens in life, we got to praise God. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, we praise God, and to him be the glory for anything that happens in our life, because God is the only one who can turn a mess into a message. That's something that's very important to remember. Hopefully on the next part of this episode, I'm going to start sharing with you some verses that talk about forgiveness and how we need to apply that to our lives, and maybe give you some personal applications of what's happened in my life. And maybe you've got somebody in your life whom you need to forgive. I hope that you will be inspired after this episode to go out and to forgive those in your life who need forgiveness, because when we forgive others, it makes us more like Christ. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Truth from the Heart with Travis Sullivan. Remember, Jesus is King, Maranatha, and God bless. Until next time.